Welcome to Thriller Convo with Car Gonzalez, broadcasting around the entire world from Austin, Texas, via Simplecast and supported by listeners like you. Thriller Convo is where we cover the latest and greatest people in the blockchain space. We use the Thriller podcast platform to move the world forward. Always. Now, here is your host, Car Gonzalez.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of Thriller Convo. Today we have on Rutger van Schrijdam from Odyssey. Hey, how's it going, Rutger?
Hey, Car. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing great, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, too. It's exciting. There's so much good news this week coming from the whole space. We got Bitcoin back up again. We got the whole crypto space kind of in this kind of like, you know, happiness state. It seems like we're kind of crawling out of this crypto winter. What do you make of all this great news this week?
It's always fun. I rarely look at the price of Bitcoin. I do own Bitcoin, but I rarely look at the price. What excited me this week is that Jack from Twitter was using Lightning and he's promoting it. And I think he sees a lot of opportunities to do cool stuff through Twitter and Lightning Network if you combine the two. And what excites me about that is that people really see more and more opportunity to build products and services on top of Lightning Network. And I think this is actually the most exciting thing, because when we will see an uptake by real users using it, not just to hodl, but to use Bitcoin as it was meant to be a payments system. And when the usage goes up, the popularity will go up. It will inspire even more entrepreneurs to build more products and services. And I think the good thing about this crypto winter is that not everyone, but a lot of people are building. And that's what we love the most, building new stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's pretty interesting that he owns Twitter and, you know, they have tweets. And it almost feels like Lightning was kind of made for Twitter, if you really think about it. Like, you could pay like one Satoshi or two Satoshis a tweet, or you could even tip if you like something or retweet or heart something. It really makes a lot of sense. It really does.
Yeah, it's a really good fit. What if the API of Twitter would have this really cool filter, and then per tweet pay an X amount of Satoshis, or not even per tweet, but per thousand or per 100,000 tweets pay something. I mean, this could really monetize their API in a good way as well. So it's a really good fit, but we can use Lightning Network for a whole lot of other stuff.
yeah, for sure. I'm excited. I'm excited for this whole space this year. I know you guys are doing something over there at Odyssey. What do you guys have going on this year?
So we are in the high season of our innovation program, so to say. Odyssey is the largest open innovation program focused on open digital public infrastructure. We're based in Europe, in the Netherlands, and we are now preparing the largest hackathon in Europe, where we are currently in the process of selecting 100 teams that will work on 20 challenges. That's 5 teams per challenge. And we have a total amount of cash rewards of 200,000 euros. So that's not voucher stuff, but it's real money there. And the money has been put there by our clients. And our clients are governmental institutes, but also corporates who really understand that if you're building, let's say, decentralized computing systems, new open protocols, that you cannot own them. You can only become part of them, but you will never own them. As we see with Bitcoin or Ethereum or even the internet and protocols like email, is that they are not owned by anyone, but everybody can build on top of it. Everybody can use it. And I think that's what we really need from our digital public infrastructure, is that it is completely neutral. And that is what we are building at Odyssey. So the hackathon will take place from 11th till 15th of April. The hackathon days are 12th until 14th of April. So 48 hours. And to round it off, what really makes it unique, I think, is that we have gathered all the stakeholders that are relevant in this complex context of each challenge. And so these challenges are basically not solvable by one organization. They can only be solved through collaborative, interconnected networks of individuals and organizations. I mean, if we're talking about becoming a fossil-free economy, or if we are talking about the regeneration of rainforests, or if we talk about going from a public utility company towards autonomous public utility networks. I mean, these are challenges that are interconnected and decentralized by nature. And I think it's really exciting to have all these governmental organizations and companies, and we also have the Dutch regulators on board at the hackathon, helping all the teams be successful. So that's real co-creation right there.
That's pretty cool. I'm looking at it right now. The website is odyssey.org. Phenomenal design on that website, by the way, whoever did it. And I'm looking at it, it's catching. And from what I can gather, and tell me this, because I've never been to a hackathon before. I've been to many blockchain conferences where there's developers and entrepreneurs, of course, and other creatives and even financial people in the building. But how does a hackathon really work? Because you're going to have 100 people or 100 teams there. So how is that? Like, can you kind of paint us a picture of what that looks like?
Yeah. Good question. So last year we had teams from 22 countries, right? We had 64 teams last year. 22 countries, 5 continents. So imagine people take the plane, as they also do with conferences. They go to Amsterdam and then travel a bit up north to the city of Groningen. Mm-hmm. And they mostly arrive on Thursday. And you have your registration, and then we have all these experts in the city. So it's nice to have some masterclasses during the afternoon. So the whole city of Groningen, all the entrepreneurs there will be hosting masterclasses for the participants of the hackathon. And these masterclasses are in legal, in open source distribution, in smart contracting, in how to connect with Lightning, how to build on Parity, you name it. Ocean Protocol will be there, Factum, all these kinds of masterclass to bring you up to speed right before the hackathon. And then we have a really cool welcoming party. The next day, on Friday, everybody gets in somewhere between 10 and 11. At 11, the team captain briefings will start. So we have to brief 100 team captains. But that's not the only one. Behind the scenes, of course, a lot more is happening, because we have like 50 volunteers. We have track mayors that guide the teams. There are track supporters that bring industry knowledge. There are about 200 experts. We call them Jedi, who help the teams with all kinds of specific stuff. We brief all these people during the morning too. So that's a huge organizational thing, but it's a lot of fun as well. And then we built up towards around noon, 12. And then we have our opening ceremony, which is usually pretty epic. You won't find mostly such openings at even conferences. It's really creating a scene because it then, you imagine, I mean, we are working all year towards this, and now I and also my team, we are letting go, because now the teams will have to do their magic, right? I mean, they are creating literally our success and vice versa, because what comes out of the hackathon is produced by the teams in collaboration with all these experts and our clients. And the result of that, the quality of that, of course, determines how good we as Odyssey, as Innovation Program, are as well. So some of your listeners might remember David Bowie and Paxman doing an interview on his vision on the internet. And if you're not familiar with this interview, YouTube, search Paxman and David Bowie on the internet. It's an amazing interview where he basically predicts how this is going to unfold. But he's also telling about how the 21st century is really about this co-creation and some kind of a gray space where things emerge. And this is really what the hackathon is all about. Teams come, and on the Friday evening, they will work on validating their solution. And then totally new ideas are emerging right there at the hackathon, because with all these experts there, they will get rid of their assumptions and they will gain new insights that will lead to new ways to approach the problem and also new ways of thinking about solutions, especially when these solutions are not suitable for one organization. How can I help you? No, it's suitable for a complete network of organizations who don't necessarily trust each other to collaborate. And that's very hard. I mean, that's very, very hard to do. And actually teams, there are quite a lot of teams that get it, but they need the hackathon and all these insights from these many different points of view and these stakeholders to get to that insight. And that's where there's a really cool vibe at the hackathon. So, okay, then Saturday, it's all go, 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 work on the solution. And on Sunday at 12 o'clock, it's stop coding. The solutions are locked, so to say. All the presentations are delivered. They have three slides to explain their solution, and we have a specially made canvas. It's a hackathon canvas. We designed it ourselves, and this guides the team in thinking about certain elements of their project. So like, of course, what is the problem? How does blockchain or AI fit to it? How do you think about your consortium? Who are your main stakeholders? All these kinds of things. And on Sunday, there will be 20 jury panels assessing all the prototypes and the solutions for each challenge, of course, one jury panel that will assess five prototypes. And then at the end of the afternoon, we can announce the winners. So there will be 20 winners in the hackathon, and they will proceed to the Monday. The Monday is the acceleration conference where you will meet on a board or VP level, all the clients and their stakeholders. So if the airliner KLM is the client, then you will meet their stakeholders like Schiphol, the airport of Amsterdam, the customs, etc., 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 that are in the that they are a stakeholder in the context of the challenge. In the case of KLM, it's storing and communicating biometric data in the safest way possible. Well, that's a very, very interesting challenge right there. And of course, many of their stakeholders are interested. And we gather them on a Monday to work with the winning team on setting an adoption roadmap. Because what we see with 99.9% of all the blockchain projects and even ICOs is that there's one problem that is the biggest, and that is adoption. So we are really focused on this adoption process in the acceleration phase, which starts at on Monday, right after the hackathon. And it, we have some people in our team dedicated to growing the ecosystems surrounding the winning teams. So really, that's what our hackathon looks like a bit. And of course, we have quite a high level of production. So there's an epic feeling around an epic experience around this. But this is basically the outline of the complete hackathon.
Yeah, no, that kind of gives you a really good idea of what to expect, most definitely. You know, when you were saying that, you know, on Saturday and Sunday, it kind of goes into this incubation kind of on steroids kind of, you know, just kind of train, right? How do you, like, how does something like that come together where you have, like, these developers and then you have, like, these governmental bodies and these financial regulators? Like, how do they all intermingle? Like, I picture like a conference where you see all these different types, but in a hackathon setting, like how do they intermingle? Do they work with each other because they have to work with each other? Or is it like, what is that? What does that look like?
So the first, it begins with the teams. There are a lot of hackathons that allow you to form a team at the hackathon, right? Mm-hmm. But here it's different. Teams have to register as a team. Right. So in the months before the hackathon, we have a process that allows teams to form. So teams will arrive at the hackathon complete. They are ready to go. They are prepared. They've had workshops with our clients. They've had we've had many events prior to the hackathon. We call them deep dives on. We did a regulatory deep dive at the Dutch Central Bank. We did an entrepreneurial deep dive. We did a legal deep dive. We did a technical deep dive. So for example, at the technical deep dive, we had Sjors Provost, Bitcoin Core developer, Jutta Steiner from Parity, Trent McConaughey from the Ocean Protocol, et cetera, et cetera. We even had Eric Lahn. He's a space industry expert who was working with the Blockstream satellite stuff and Lightning. So he was able to tell about how you can use that in your solution. So we really want to take people to the cusp of the developments and to integrate that in their solution. And we also really prepare them well to use all the knowledge available at the hackathon. Because if you go to the hackathon as a team and you don't use all this knowledge, then the question becomes, why go to the hackathon, right? Mm-hmm. You can just as well could have do this at the office. So it's about awareness, about the awareness of in your team, there is a great deal of knowledge, but most of the knowledge available is outside your team. Go get it. Work with other teams to see how the ecosystem could grow in the context of your solution. Because if other teams could not work with your solution, perhaps you're developing something too narrow or not connected enough, or well, so the teams are really guided in this way of thinking. And of course, we remind them that we are looking for the most interconnected solutions that will have the best adoption path. And that's where the prize money incentive comes in, because the teams really want to do the best thing, of course. Everybody shares basically this vision on what we think of open digital public infrastructure, how it should fit in the architecture of our society and economy. And this is with this general vision, everybody is looking to collaborate and make the most out of their time at the hackathon.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. Now looking at it, it's kind of a dumb question. I'm just kidding.
If you've never been at a hackathon, but usually these hackathons are like a flash in the pan, right?
That's what you think, yeah.
And you go hack something and then you leave again. And that was the same problem I had when I was still organizing conferences. I did three pretty large conferences in the Netherlands about Bitcoin and about blockchain, and I was making some good money on it. And then I was like, okay, we had all these amazing speakers. We had even more amazing people in the audience, and we clapped and then we go home again. And that was really when I thought, this is not going to create a market. We need a new type of market to make the best use of this technology. And with this urge, we started the hackathon.
No, that makes a lot of sense. That's the first time I ever heard somebody who puts together conferences say that, you know, honest and be honest about it. Like, you always see these money grabs from a lot of these bigger conferences, especially like these ones geared towards Bitcoin maximalists. And it obviously just looks like a money grab. But I think you're right. I think adoption is going to require more than just catering to people that are already in this space.
Yeah, and I think sharing knowledge at conferences is a good thing. I'm not against conferences, but I think when you look at how you can optimize the result out of the time that people spend at conferences, then the format needs a big upgrade.
Yeah.
So, I think that's why we use also a lot of meeting design to use our gatherings to get the most out of that. For example, we did a little trick at our deep dives, is that on the main stage you have a couple of keynotes and you don't do Q&As, but you do a decentralized Q&A after the keynotes. And what that means is that you have, after, let's say, four keynotes, you have 1 hour with your favorite speaker to dive deeper. Well, that's Q&A, right? It's not a short Q&A where you have, if you're lucky, you have a good question. No, that's like a conversation with your favorite speaker. In our opening conference, it's called The Future of Trust. It's where all the challenges are articulated. So we have the National Hall of Knights, where the king gives its annual speech here in Den Haag. That's where we are allowed as an ecosystem to discuss the topics that will be challenges later on at the hackathon. And then about, let's say, 250 to 300 people go there, and we use all kind of collaborative hacks to enable them to build a challenge on that day. And it's not the final version of that challenge, but it's a great start because the challenge has been formulated by a lot of stakeholders that are in the same field and experience that challenge in a different way. And with all these stories together, I mean, if you're in a traffic accident, for example, when you're in a car that is in the accident, you experience something totally different than the police that is going towards it. You experience something totally different than the ambulance who is going towards it. And so it's the same situation, but you experience it in a different way as you have a different position in that network. So at the beginning of the season, it's very important to get all these positions or at least some key positions together to formulate the challenge that will be later on used at the hackathon, so that it makes sense to again go to the hackathon and help the teams out because you are part of the challenge. And this is really what I think we can also do a lot more in the whole space, is find ways to enable others to enable each other, right? To collaborate. Yeah. What I really love about Bitcoin is that I can have, let's say I live in a very sunny place and I can leverage some of my extra energy into a Bitcoin mining grid. And then I contribute the peak solar power I have to the largest open payment infrastructure in the world, and at night my mining rig can be offline and the network runs perfectly fine, but I can, as an individual, can contribute in any way to make that network better, but also I can build products and services. So I think that's very interesting about this space, is that it's an age of mass enablement which we are currently unlocking, and that's what excites me a lot.
Yeah, it does me too. I mean, just looking at just the whole space in general and how far we've come in such a short amount of time, it's pretty phenomenal. When I think of the Netherlands, I think of marijuana, Amsterdam, and Dutch women. what is it like over there in the Netherlands?
You forgot one thing. I think. Mayonnaise, man.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we fucking grind them in that shit.
So what is it like if somebody's going to be visiting for the hackathon? Like what's it like?
It's experiencing the Netherlands, I think, in a very nice way. A lot of people that go to the Netherlands stay in Amsterdam. But the Netherlands is like one big city with a lot of green in between the neighborhoods, right? So we have more cities than Amsterdam. There's Rotterdam, there's Eindhoven, there's of course Maastricht. These are all really nice. And Groningen is also another city. It's a bit up north. The train will take you there, or you can take also the airplane to Airport Groningen from London Southend. It depends on where you're coming from. But if you're landing in Amsterdam, most people take the train to Groningen, and then you will see a lot more from the Netherlands than you usually have your Amsterdam trip. I think it's going to be a nice experience because Groningen is very much used to welcoming a big international audiences. We have a couple of very big festivals, like performing arts festivals, music industry festivals, and they are really, really good on the international scale, so to say. So Groningen is a very cool place. It's like I always say, it's the Berlin of the Netherlands, because the government allows a lot to happen in a good way. It's a very free city. The local government is very open-minded to innovation. They want to explore the city of the future, but in a way that brings everybody along.
That's cool. Because,
and that's very interesting. Also, what's interesting is that 25% of all the inhabitants of the city are students. So it's a very young city as well. It's very lively as well. Bars don't have a specific time they have to close. They can stay open. So it's also a bit of a warning there because the pub nights in Groningen can be very, very long. and it's a lot of fun. So what else would you like to know about the Netherlands?
That's pretty cool. Like that sells me on a lot right there. What's the food like over there? I always wondered that.
I mean, we have wheat for breakfast, and then we have wheat for lunch. That's, I think, what's nice about the Netherlands. Whatever you want to eat, it's good. So okay. if you want to have good pizza, it's there. You want to have good Asian food, it's there. And you want to have great French or Spanish food, it's there. But also the Dutch food, like we have all kinds of typical Dutch dishes, and they are nice. But not obligatory. So yeah, I mean, we generally love good food, and we
That's cool.
we really are open as the Dutch to the international cuisine, because yeah, we think there's something nice in almost every cuisine. So it's you can find it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's gonna be a lot of fun.
yeah, we provide food to all the teams and the participants
at the
hackathon too, right? So the hackathon is there. I don't sell any tickets to my events, so it's free to participate. Of course, you have to do your own traveling and accommodation, but there's no entry fee. We select and we curate all the teams based on their motivation, not only during the hackathon, but also what if you win, what will you do? You know, we select on that potential you display for winning the hackathon and taking your solution forward. But when you're in, we take good care of you.
That's awesome. I mean, anybody listening right now and is a developer or in the space and is looking for a Netherlands trip, go to odyssey.org, sign up, get a team together. And sounds like a lot of fun. Even just going there and just being a part of it seems like it's going to be fun too, as well, too.
That's cool. Yeah. And basically, I mean, we are offering our market on a silver platter, right? So if you want to have clients in the Netherlands, in Europe, because most of the challenges are international by nature, then we offer clients, right? So when a client comes to us and says, "What, Rutger, what can we do with blockchain?" and we sketch a couple of possibilities, of which, by the way, I never leave out the crypto part, because blockchain without cryptocurrencies is like wanting to have traffic without vehicles. But yeah, I think a lot of enterprise bullshit was introduced a couple of years ago that we have blockchain without crypto. So anyway, but we are not building these solutions ourselves. We are organizing a market where people can join and build the solutions for the clients. We are handing over the clients. We're not in the middle with a percentage like companies like Uber or Airbnb do. We're building an open market. So that's really the interesting part, I think, for when people are listening and saying, well, do I want my company to gain clients? Yeah, that's the opportunity we are offering.
That's awesome. Well, gosh, thank you so much, Rutger, for just building this out, giving everybody a platform to, you know, to utilize all these people in the space. And gosh, thank you for the work that you do. And thank you for coming on the show. Do you have any final words, any last things you want to get across to the crypto community out there?
Yeah, don't just huddle, but also biddle.
There you go.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Carr. I mean, you're doing amazing work with this podcast, and it's really good to have conversations, spread the word, and the knowledge out there. So I think we need more and more people involved, or let's put it better, we need all the people we can get involved in creating this new type of operating system for our society, right?
Where 100%, yeah,
things will run for us. And I think you're doing an important part of getting more people involved. So thank you for doing this this podcast.
Gosh, thank you so much, Rutger. I appreciate it. And you know, that's why I like having people like yourself on, because you guys get it. And this is the same reason that I do it too as well. It's just, you know, building this out and hopefully, you know, gain adoption and, you know, free the planet from the way it is right now, and let have a level playing field out there for everybody. Right. So,
right. Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool. We're building the future. It's awesome. All right, Rutger. Well, we'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, head over to odyssey.org. If you want to find out more information about the hackathon, it's happening April 12th. Is that right, Rutger?
Yeah, that's when we have the opening show, and the teams will get in at April 11th. And yeah.
When's the final cutoff date to submit an application?
Ah, yeah, that's a good one. The deadline for team registrations is next Monday. Yeah, but that's when the waiting list will open. Okay. So you can imagine that sometimes a team drops out due to circumstances, and then we select teams from the waiting list. And this is not a gradual order. The waiting list order is the best teams get on top. So it's
competition.
Still a good reason to register, even if we're past the deadline, because there is a chance of getting there. And
all right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. Odyssey.org, get over there and register. There's always an opportunity to participate and to have fun.
This is the end of the show. You have been listening to Thriller Podcast with Carr Gonzalez. Remember, Thriller Podcast is not financial advice. Everything Carr said likely won't come true. It is up to you. Now go, do your own research. Listen to other dudes that start their name with crypto, and not Carr. And remember, buy Bitcoin and save the world. One Satoshi at a time.